Golden Arrow Resources, a junior mining powerhouse with strong management, cash rich, and high quality properties with precious metals, gold, silver, and recently added copper for its demand and price rise. Golden Arrow has a proven five-step development strategy, previously responsible for three major discoveries with two in production. Golden Arrow Resources, U.S. trading symbol GARWF, and in Canada, GRG. Web address, goldenarrowresources.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Bob Zimmerman, who keeps the website Behind the Black, and Commercial Space. Bob, Viasat is a company buying Inmarsat for $7.3 billion. However, this is evidence of aggregation in the satellite business. What is Viasat? What is Inmarsat?
Okay, well, Viasat is one of the old geosynchronous communication satellite companies that have been around for a while. It was formed in 1986. And Inmarsat is also one of those old geosynchronous satellite companies. It was formed in 1979. That's quite a long time ago. And both these Viasat is California-based and Inmarsat is UK-based. And both these companies have launched over the decades commercial communication satellites into geosynchronous orbit, and mostly for either the military or commercial purposes. So that's what they've been doing, but they're being challenged. They're under great pressure right now by the new commercial internet constellations that are being launched in low Earth orbit. And so they have a problem here, because even though geosynchronous satellites can provide communications and you don't have to launch a lot of satellites to do it globally, there's a delay. There's a time delay when you talk through a geosynchronous satellite. It takes a lot of time to get up to the satellite and back down to Earth. The low orbit constellations that are going up right now get rid of that. And so you have a quality competition here. And so these geosynchronous satellite companies are having a problem and they're under pressure. And so what happens when big companies like this are under pressure? They start to consolidate. And so Viasat has purchased Inmarsat for $7.3 billion. Their satellites are complementary with each other. So this kind of strengthens them in the competition and it makes it better, maybe easier for them to compete for business. They are though faced with serious problems here, because even though much of their business is military, even the military, like the Space Force, is trying to shift to, instead of one big satellite in geosynchronous orbit, many satellites that are redundant to each other. And this once again puts more pressure on these companies.
And therefore we go right to Astra, another company seeking to put up an internet constellation. My memory, Bob, of the early days of the space race was that geosynchronous orbit was attractive because with three or four satellites, you can span the Earth. However, now they're putting satellites up in low Earth orbit between 250 and 400 miles. What's the advantage?
Well, as I mentioned, you don't have time delay when you communicate from up and down. That's the main advantage. Back in the very early days of the space race in the 60s, AT&T actually wanted to create a low Earth orbit constellation to get around this specific problem of time delay. But for a lot of reasons, Congress stepped in and blocked AT&T from doing it. So we switched to, basically for many decades, government-controlled geosynchronous satellites. Eventually, private enterprise moved in and started to launch geosynchronous satellites. But the technology now has significantly improved, and more important, the cost to get those many satellites in low Earth orbit up to space has dropped significantly. And so now that you can launch a lot of satellites cheaply, they're looking to launch a lot of satellites into low Earth orbit to provide a better service for internet and communications. And so Astra, it's a small sat company that has not even launched a successful orbital flight yet. It's tried three times its rocket to get into orbit and has failed all three times. Its fourth launch is scheduled in about a month. But it is proposing to put up its own 13,000 satellite internet constellation, kind of comparable to SpaceX's Starlink. And the goal here would be to provide internet access globally, competing with other companies. And because they got their own rocket, if they get it launching, and I expect they will, they can cut the cost of getting this up by using their own rocket. So it's just part of the same thing. The business is changing, and it's changing in radical ways because the cost of launch has gone down, John.
The showman, Richard Branson. Two companies, Virgin Galactic and Virgin Orbit. You've taught me Virgin Orbit is the good one. What are they up to, Bob?
Well, they are another one of those small sat rocket companies, and Virgin Orbit has actually launched twice already, gotten satellites into orbit. And so they're there to put up these giant constellations of satellites. There's going to be a lot of demand for launch services with all these satellites going up. Virgin Orbit has now signed a deal with a Japanese company to allow it to launch up to 20 times from a runway in Japan. You got to understand, their rocket, Launcher 1, launches from the bottom of a 747. So they can take off from any runway. And so they've now made a deal to launch from Japan. That means they also think they've got contracts to launch satellites. So this is a company that's going to move forward over a period of time. They also, by the way, have a second airport in Asia. That's it, located in Guam, that they've made a deal for. So Virgin Orbit, you expect more launches from them over the coming years, John.
Endeavour safely splashes down, writes Bob. I watched the splashdown, thanks to my brother sending me a link. It was nowhere near as thrilling as the 1960s on little black and white televisions with incomplete pictures, and you didn't know what was going on, but there was genuine risk. Would they recover in time? Would it sink? Would the aircraft carrier find it? But now, Bob, it seemed very routine.
Yep, Private Enterprise marches on, John. Totally routine. When the parachutes released, one of the parachutes, four parachutes, didn't open up initially, and if you look at it, you say, oh my God, they're going to die. But no, it's designed to come down with three parachutes, and then eventually the fourth parachute opened up, and there was no problems, and it's very routine now. A crew comes down, a crew goes up. This was Endeavour's, by the way, completion of its second flight, a reusable capsule, John, that's a private company built.
And a crew joins China's space station for a spacewalk. Again, Bob, this is routine now in spacewalking because once upon a time there was risk to it. The Chinese are as good at it as we are?
Well, there have been hundreds, actually, really, I think more than 200 spacewalks plus in the half century since Leonov did the first one in the mid-60s. So in a sense, it's somewhat routine. Of course, it's dangerous. It's cutting edge. So something can always go wrong. The Chinese have their first module of the space station in orbit. The second crew is there on a six-month mission. So this week, they completed their first spacewalk with two astronauts spending 6.5 hours on the exterior of the station, and they were testing the new spacesuits. They were doing work with the station's robot arm, and they're doing a variety of other outside activities to prepare the station for two upcoming large modules that are coming in the next few months. They hope to get this whole station assembled within a year from now, and so major modules are coming. By the way, I should mention that when those modules launch, they'll be using the Long March 5B rocket, which means its upper stage will come crashing down somewhere on Earth out of control. So watch your heads. That is coming twice in the next 4 or 5 months.
Remind me, Bob, is there a governing body that can step in here and stop the Chinese from raining down detritus?
Nope. They are breaking the Outer Space Treaty every time they do this. They are a signatory, but there's no way to actually enforce it except by talking about it and embarrassing them greatly. They may take action to fix it. The odds of them hurting anyone is slim, but that's besides the point. They have signed a treaty where you control every object that's going to come back to Earth, and they are defying that treaty. They're breaking it.
We go to another Chinese story. This is a mystery to me, but Bob is going to explain. Removing space junk is the nominal explanation for the Chinese launch. Do I have that correct, Bob?
Yeah, they are saying that they put up a satellite, which they said was to do space debris mitigation tests. And there's a lot of satellites so far that have done this, actually. Well, what you do is two ports go up. One is separated, and then you see if you can recapture it and then bring it down to Earth. And so they say that's what they're doing. But because they're not very transparent and they're somewhat secretive, everyone suspects that there's military components to this. There could be military components to this, but we just don't know. What's happened now is that the satellite was launched about a month ago. One part of it has separated. We've now detected by the Space Force two objects next to each other. I suspect what's next going to happen is they'll come back together as the primary object satellite captures the first one, as it would do with space junk or with a defunct satellite, and then it'll bring it back to orbit.
Well, the puzzle, Bob, is anti-satellite conduct.
Yes.
Because if you use what is essentially an engineering crew in space, you know, somebody with a front loader called itself a satellite, it could damage or destroy satellites that are possessed by other countries.
Yeah. I mean, this kind of junk removal technology is always applicable to military operations, John, in the West and in the East. The only difference here is this is a government operation rather than a private commercial company trying to make money removing space junk. And so we suspect there might be military components to this, and that suspicion is completely reasonable.
All right, 30 seconds. SLS has run out of money. What kind of money, Bob?
NASA is building has built one mobile launcher. This is to move the rocket from the assembly building to the launch pad. They spent almost $1 billion building the first one. They're now trying to build the second for $500 million. They're only going to use the first one three times. That's $1.4 billion. And the second one, they've had to stop work because they ran out of money appropriated by Congress. It's putting incompetence, John. Meanwhile, SpaceX uses a truck mover that probably costs them $1 million.
Bob Zimmerman keeps the website Behind the Black. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Patrick.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.